What happens after you pray for your daily provision? Here's Adrian Rogers.
You must exercise a personal performance. Now, this is very important. Prayer is not a substitute for work. It is not a substitute for diligence. If you pray for bread, do you know how you say amen? You work for it.
And welcome to Love Worth Finding. On yesterday's broadcast, pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers began a dynamic message, How to Pray for Our Daily Bread. We learned that we must first prioritize God's honor and His kingdom, surrendering to Him in reverence. Then, pray only for what we need day to day, practicing daily reliance on Him. What's next, as we just heard, is to exercise personal performance. We show our faith by doing something. For James 2:26 says, Faith without works is dead. And what is the final step to praying for our daily bread? If you have your Bible, we'll be in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Once again, here's Adrian Rogers.
Do you have a need today? God delights to meet your need. It gives God honor to meet your need. It is really a dishonor to the Heavenly Father if He does not meet the needs of His children. Now, verse 11 teaches us to pray for our daily bread. But bread is symbolic of any need that you may have. Of course, it is a chief need because we must have bread in order to live. May I give you four steps teaching you how to pray for your need, to have your need met, how to pray for daily bread. Number one, put it down big, plain, and straight, you must establish a proper priority. Do you have it? You must establish a proper priority. Notice the priority in this prayer. Look again in verse 9. After this manner pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be, watch it, Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Do you see that? Thy name, Thy kingdom, Thy will. And then notice how the prayer changes. In verse 11, Our bread, continuing our debts, our temptations. First of all, there is God's name, God's kingdom, God's will, and then our need. Now, if you don't get that priority straight, you'll never have power in prayer. Not only should you establish a proper priority, but then you must express your prayerful petition. You ask God. You see, Jesus taught us to ask. Jesus taught us to pray this way, Give us this day our daily bread. May I tell you why some people don't have their needs met? They don't ask. It's that simple. They don't ask. You're in Matthew 6. Turn over to Matthew 7 and look in verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Look in verse 9. What man is there of you to whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Lord, give us some bread. We need some bread. When you establish the priority, you express the petition. You just simply say, Lord, I have a need. You know what James said? The Apostle James, in James chapter 4 and verse 2, that many people have not because they ask not. They don't have because they don't ask. Listen, friend, there is no need too small. There's no need too big. Whatever you need, you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and God delights to meet your need. He says, Ask of me, and I will answer thee. I took my wife Joyce and went to Moscow. I'm talking about Moscow in Russia. And there I preached along with Josh McDowell and Bill Bright in Red Square. There was erected in Red Square a $30,000 soundstage. A choir of hundreds of people from across America, and some from the former Soviet Union, sat on that platform. And here was a service that was telecast nationwide presenting the Lord Jesus Christ during the Orthodox Easter. That night, Josh McDowell and I were to share the platform. There was a concert. We had prayed, "Oh God, give us good weather," because it had been snowing off and on all that week. And sometimes snow mixed with rain. And it was an outside concert. At 7 o'clock, when the concert was to begin, thousands had gathered out there at the foot of that stage. We were going to have a musical concert and then present the Lord Jesus Christ. Would be my joy to tell people how to know Christ, how to be saved, these former Soviets who had been taught there is no God, to tell them and preach the glorious gospel of Christ. And months and months of preparation had gone into this. The choirs had practiced. We preachers had prayed. The stage was set. The people were gathered. And it began to rain. The rain started coming down. I was with Bill Bright in a trailer that had been parked near to the stage, and we were there praying. Someone came in the door brushing the rain off and said, "The concert has been canceled." Bill Bright said, "What? They can't cancel the concert." He said, "Oh, yes. The rain has caused the concert to be canceled." They had a great grand piano on the stage, a very expensive instrument. The contract said, if it begins to rain, the piano must be covered. That was in the contract. Very expensive instrument. Well, you can't have a concert without a piano. The sound people said, we cannot have all of these wires running everywhere and this mammoth soundstage and all of this electrical equipment with it raining. Somebody might get electrocuted. The concert is canceled. Bill Bright went to the platform. He said, no. He said, we prayed too much. There are too many souls at stake. The concert cannot be canceled. The man in charge said, we'll give it 10 minutes. If it doesn't stop raining in 10 minutes, the concert will be canceled. The sky is absolutely gray, the rain coming down. We have this on film. A little group of leaders there got underneath the scaffolding and they began to pray, Lord, let the concert go on. Lord, stop the rain, Lord. They lifted their face to heaven in that rain and began to sing this. Stop the rain, Lord. Stop the rain. Stop the rain, Lord. Stop the rain. I'm here to testify to you. In 9 1/2 minutes, it looked like God just wiped his hand across that sky. It got as blue as if you'd painted it with a brush in 9 1/2 minutes. The concert went on. I stood and preached and gave the invitation, and thousands lifted their hands that they were coming to Christ. Now, you can tell me that that was just a coincidence. It would have happened anyway. Well, you believe it your way, I'll believe it my way. But friend, I want to tell you that I believe that there is a God in the heaven who answers the prayer of God's people, whether it be a small thing, if it concerns you, it concerns Him. Whether it's controlling the weather in Moscow, there's a God that reigns in the heavens. And many times we have not because we ask not. Not only must you establish a proper priority, not only must you express a prayerful petition, but also you must exercise a personal performance. Now, this is very important. Prayer is not a substitute for work. It is not a substitute for diligence. If you pray for bread, do you know how you say amen? You work for it. Let me give you some verses. Somebody says, well, you know, I'm not going to work. God just feeds the fowls of the air. Well, He does feed the fowls of the air. Chapter 6, look, if you will, in verse 26. Look at it. Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? You say, well, God feeds the birds, then God will feed me. Well, that's true. But how does God feed the birds? Does God throw it in the nest? No, they get out and scratch for it. How is God going to feed you? You want God to give you bread? Let me give you some verses. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Here's another verse. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Is that cruel? That's not cruel. That's Bible. Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Too lazy to plow? Then you won't have anything to eat. Proverbs 28, verse 19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. But he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. There's a priority. There's a petition. There's also a performance. When you ask God for anything, do you just sit back and do nothing and say, well, I'm going to show my faith by doing nothing? To the contrary, you will show your faith by doing something, for faith without works is what? Dead. Dead. It is the proof of your faith. You want a house? Pray for it. Then say amen with a hammer and saw. You want a wife? Pray for one. Then go shave and put on some cologne. Learn some manners. How to be thoughtful. Dwight L. Moody, he was the Billy Graham of his day, but he was in many ways an unlettered man, but full of a lot of wisdom. And Moody was asked to pray for the health of this preacher, a fellow preacher. Pray for brother so-and-so, he's sick. Do you know what Moody said? I will not pray for him. Well, why, Mr. Moody? Why won't you pray for him? He said, because he does 10 days work in five and eats everything in sight. That is, why should I pray for him to have health when he himself will not even practice the very rudiments of health? You're asking God to give you carte blanche to do whatever you want, or to be lazy, to be indolent, to be selfish, to be indulgent, and then just say, dear God, just through prayer, counteract all of that. Oh, no, God doesn't do that. Friend, again, the Bible says, you pray for bread. I will give you bread, God says. But he also says, if a man will not work, neither should he eat. And so there is a performance that we are to exercise. Exercise a proper performance. Enjoy a present provision. Now notice the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Not tomorrow, just today, just today. And Lord, help me to enjoy what you've given me today, whether it be little or whether it be much. I know how to abase, I know how to abound, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. One of the wisest things I've ever read was written by a philosopher who said this, to whom little is not enough, nothing is enough. Did that get in? To whom little is not enough, nothing is enough. If you've not learned in whatsoever state you are to be content, you will never be content. Be content with a little and don't worry about tomorrow. Give us this day our daily bread, having therewith food and clothing, the Bible says, let us be content. Now I know what I want and I know what you want. I want to have enough that I don't have to depend on God. I won't have to depend on God. I want to have some money in the bank, you know, and I want to have something there so that when tomorrow comes, then I don't have to worry about it. Isn't that what we want? We call that security. Question, is that really security? Who is more secure? The man who has a warehouse full of stale bread or the man whose father is a rich baker? Which would you rather have? The warehouse full of bread that the rats can get, or that the thieves can get, or just have a father who is a very, very rich baker? See? Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Now we want to have it all laid up, you know, and the Bible says, Don't trust in uncertain riches. That can take wings. You say, money talks. That's right. It says goodbye. I mean, it's gone. You say, well, I've got it all. Well, you may not have it all. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, the old trolleys would run with an arm up there, and that arm would be attached to an electric wire, and the power for that trolley comes from that wire. So this is the way the trolley runs, all the way to the end of the line. It just keeps its arm up, connected to that power up there. How does an automobile run? Well, an automobile has a gasoline tank. So the automobile pulls into the gasoline station, fills the tank, and it will go as far as the tank will go, the tank full of gasoline, but when the gasoline gets low, he has to start looking for another gasoline station. Isn't that right? That's the way it works. Well, so many of us want to live like the automobile. We want to have a tank full, and so we say, well, I can see 300 miles or 200 miles, whatever kind of mileage you get, and I want to see my way all the way clear because I've got this much in the tank. But you know how God wants us to live? Not like the automobile, but like the trolley. I always have enough as long as I'm in connection. Always have enough. It's not how much I've got in the tank, it's just what I'm connected to. That's the way the child of God is to live. Just stay connected to God. Just stay connected to Him. Your source is not in the tank. Your source is not in the bank. Your source is above you. Our Father, give us today our daily bread. I heard a preacher preach one time. He said, I don't need any money. Well, very frankly, when I looked at him, I thought, is that true? I don't need any money. And then he said something that I've never been able to forget. He said, my wife and I have $40 in the bank. And he said, we don't need any money until that's gone. You know, we're saying, oh, God, just, you know, give us so much and so we can just rest in that and trust in that. What was he saying? He was saying, God has given me today my daily bread. Well, listen, what do you do? What do you do? How do you pray for daily bread? Number one, establish a proper priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Secondly, express a prayerful petition. Ask God. Ask Him for what you need. Come to Him. Tell Him about it. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. A priority of petition, a performance. If any man will not work, neither should he eat. God has not promised to bless your laziness and your indolence. And then last of all, dear friend, there is a provision, a daily provision to enjoy. This day, just thank God for what He's given you this day. Has God taken care of you today? Then don't worry about tomorrow. The Bible does not tell us not to plan, but the Bible very clearly tells us not to worry. And as we continue in this series on the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to find out where Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow. The morrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. One last thing, listen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone. Isn't that what He said? That's what He said. Now He says, give us this day our daily bread. But He also said, man shall not live by bread alone. And then He said, I am the bread of life. There's more than one kind of bread. Every piece of bread that you eat, in order for you to eat that, a corn of wheat had to fall in the ground and die in order for you to eat that bread. Jesus is heaven's bread for earth's hunger. And Jesus, the Son of God, came, died and was buried and raised again and became the bread of life that you and I could have our deepest, deepest hunger met. Do you know Jesus? Friend, if you fared sumptuously every day and had bread enough and to spare and you died and went to hell, so what? And you can eat and it can be wonderful. But if you don't have Jesus, there's a hidden hunger that will never be satisfied till it's satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus is heaven's bread. After World War II, there were some little boys. They called them the Junior Gestapo. 12 and 13-year-old boys had been taken by Hitler, moved out of their home, put in youth camps. The future Gestapo for Hitler. Well, Hitler lost the war. These boys had been displaced from their parents. Many times the parents were dead. And these little boys had gone from city to city, from slum to slum. And the humanitarians got these boys, the Junior Gestapo, and put them in tent cities to try to straighten them out. The boys were frightened. They would wake up in the nighttime screaming with nightmares. They couldn't get them to sleep all night long. A psychiatrist said a part of it is that the boys have such an uncertain future. They're not supposed to face this kind of thing at 11 or 12 years of age or at any time. The boys waking up in the middle of the night, having nightmares, just screaming. The psychiatrist said, I believe I have a plan. And this is what he did. He fed the boys a big meal at nighttime and then gave them a piece of bread and said, hold this in your hand tonight. Hold it with both hands. It'll be your breakfast in the morning. And they went to sleep and slept all night because they had their breakfast in their hand for the next morning. And somehow just going to sleep at night, holding in the hand a piece of bread, help them to sleep all night. My friend, when I go to bed tonight, I'm going to have bread not in my hand, but in my heart. His name is Jesus. And I know that I know He will be sufficient for tomorrow.
Jesus is sufficient for today and for tomorrow. May we never forget. If you have questions regarding your faith in Jesus Christ, we'd love to offer an insightful resource on the website. It's our Discover Jesus page. There you'll find answers you may need about your faith, as well as a response section where you can share how this message or others have changed you and helped you. Go to lwf.org/radio and click on the tab Discover Jesus. We can't wait to hear from you. Again, lwf.org/radio. And click Discover Jesus. Now, if you'd like to order a complete copy of today's message, request the title How to Pray for Our Daily Bread when you call 1-877-LOVE-GOD. You'll receive the entire lesson on your single CD. This message is also part of the powerful series, The School of Prayer. For the complete collection, all five insightful messages, call 877-LOVE-GOD. Or go to lwf.org/radio, or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. When you pray for God's daily provision, are your priorities aligned with His? Have you asked for His providence? Are you prepared to work for what you're asking for? Are you thankful for what He's given you today? Spend some time dwelling on that today, and be sure to join us next time for more powerful truth from Adrian Rogers right here on Love Worth Finding. Everything that looks like it is over our head is already under His feet. Profound truth, simply stated. We hear this often as people are exposed to the wit and wisdom of Adrian Rogers. In fact, here at Love Worth Finding, we've coined the term Adrianisms for some of his most impactful nuggets of truth. And now, we're excited to tell you about our new Adrianisms card set. Created with original art and lettering, each of the 52 cards include an insightful Adrianism, as well as an accompanying scripture on the reverse side. These cards are perfect to display in your home, your office. You can share them as gifts to family and friends. For more information about the product, go to our online store at lwf.org. That's lwf.org. And thank you for your continued support of Love Worth Finding.